Good morning. Happy Wednesday morning to you. Welcome to another Revelation Devotional. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. We are coming ever closer to the end of the book of Revelation. Some of the most beautiful and glorious chapters are here before us in 19, 20, 21, and 22. Excited to see what God has. I've got my Banner of Truth mug full of good coffee. I've been enjoying beautiful weather the last couple of days after a chilly weekend. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're off to a good start on this Wednesday morning. Let's pray and then let's dig into this wonderful chapter of God's Word together. Heavenly Father, as we quiet our hearts and minds before you, we look to you in faith and we ask that you would speak to us through your word. Our desire is to hear from you. Our desire is to love you. Our desire is to know you and to make you known. So show yourself to us through your word this morning. Rejoice our hearts in Jesus. Strengthen our hope in his coming. Fix our eyes on eternity. And lead us by your Spirit through this study, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Revelation, chapter 19. After this, I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven crying out, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for his judgments are true and just. For he has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality and has avenged on her the blood of his servants." Once more they cried out, "Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever." And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God who was seated on the throne, saying, "Amen! Hallelujah!" And from the throne came a voice saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, small and great." Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory. For the marriage supper of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints." And the angel said to me, "Write this, 'Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.'" And he said to me, "These are the true words of God." Then I fell down at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, "You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and with a loud voice he called to all the birds that fly directly overhead, "Come, gather for the great supper of God, to eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all men, both free and slave, both small and great." And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth with their armies gathered to make war against him who was seated on the throne, who was sitting on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet, who in his presence had done the signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped its image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur, and the rest were slain by the sword that came from the mouth of him who was sitting on the horse, and all the birds were gorged with their flesh. This is a powerfully triumphant picture of the victory of Christ, which is really what Revelation is all about. It is about Christ's victory over sin and Satan and the world. It is about his coming again and about how that should give his people hope in him. And so Revelation is written for our encouragement and for us to rejoice in the things that we should rejoice in, and to separate from the things that we should separate from. Where is our heart's allegiance? Where is our joy? What causes us to rejoice? Where are our highest priorities? What is our relationship with the world? What is our relationship with the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of men? These are the kinds of questions we should be asking ourselves as we're going through Revelation. We have in here, at the beginning of Revelation 19, two refrains of hallelujah, each one coming from what seemed to be the voice of a loud of a great multitude in heaven. And the second time it's said to be like the roar of many waters and the sound of mighty peals of thunder. And this cry is hallelujah. You see that the hallelujah is said three times in this first set of rejoicing. Hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God. And then hallelujah, the smoke goes up from her forever. And then the 24 elders and the four living creatures give their amen, hallelujah. And then you see again in this rejoicing of the saints, this hallelujah. What is the subject of their praise? Hallelujah, first of all, means praise the Lord, right? It's from Hebrew. Hallel means to praise. Yah is the Lord. So praise the Lord. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for his judgments are true and just. For he has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality and has avenged on her the blood of his servants. Hallelujah, the smoke from her goes up forever and ever. So again, we see this theme in Revelation, and that is the people of God should rejoice in the just judgment of God because the powers that control this world are in fact evil. They are in fact set against the Lord Jesus Christ and against his kingdom and against his people, and they deserve judgment, and they are being judged now with temporal judgments, and they will be judged with eternal judgment, and we should rejoice in that. We should say, praise the Lord that he is just, that he is holy, that he is good, and that he has all power and glory, that he is able to bring an end to evil and suffering and rebellion and hostility, that he gets the victory. And so the call to us in verse 5 is, praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, small and great. And I'll make another appeal here, as I think I've done several times, for Lord's Day morning gathered worship. Because when we gather together on the Lord's Day, first of all, why do we call it the Lord's Day and not the Sabbath day? And why do we gather on Sunday instead of on Saturday? What does that have to do with Revelation 19? Everything. The reason why we gather on Sunday morning is because Sunday morning is the time of the victory. the victory over sin, death, and hell, when Jesus arose with the keys in hand, and he brought life and immortality to light through the glory of his resurrection. And so we gather on that day, and we call it the Lord's Day because it is an anticipation of the day of the Lord. It is a foretaste of glory. We gather together, and we sing praises to his name, and we worship the Lamb. We worship God for who he is and for what he has done. We remind our hearts of what's true. We renew our spirits in the gospel, and we should do everything within our power to make sure we never miss Sunday morning gathered worship. Everything else needs to be pushed off to the side to make sure we are there with God's people to praise his name, because it is our needed. It's not only commanded, but it's deeply needed in our blessed time to gather together and to rejoice. And so much of what we see in Revelation of these gathered worship times of singing praises and praising God for who he is. Now, the first set of praise had to do with the downfall of the great prostitute who's been judged. The second has to do with the coming of the marriage of the Lamb and the bride who has made herself ready. There's an intentional contrast here between the bride who has made herself ready. It was granted to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. That's the deliberate contrast to the great prostitute Babylon, right, which represents the cities of the world and their commerce and their immorality. There's a huge contrast. The garments of the bride are simple. They're clean. They're pure. The bride has been faithful. She has waited. She is righteous. This has been granted to her. It's been granted to her to suffer. It's been granted to her to serve the Lord. It's been granted to her to do these righteous deeds, which then she's clothed with. I love how God treats us. Another analogy that the scriptures use is that of running a race, right? And God brings us from death to life so that we're alive and able to run the race. He puts strength in our limbs so that we will run the race with joy. He keeps us faithful by the indwelling of his Holy Spirit. He basically carries us across the finish line. And then he gives us the victor's crown and says, well done, good and faithful servant. And we take that crown off and we cast it at the feet of the Lord Jesus and say, all glory and honor be to you. And that's a picture here in the terms of a wedding. This bride has made herself ready with pure white linen, which is the righteous deeds of the saints that have been granted to her. And the angel said this, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. There is a marriage supper of the Lamb that is coming. There is a great feast, a great rejoicing time when we will be with the Lord forever. And our hearts should just long for that day. Our hearts should just yearn for that day. And we should do everything within our power to make ourselves hungry and longing for that day. Which means we need to stop, you know, One of the mistakes, Thanksgiving's coming up, one of the classic mistakes I make every year at Thanksgiving is that my wife and her family, we're usually down there with them for Thanksgiving, and they put out this wonderful spread of food and all these appetizers and this wonderful stuff, and I just will snack and nibble and snack and nibble and snack and nibble, and then the feast comes and it's spread out and I'm like, oh, I've been eating all day. How am I supposed to eat this now? So I've been trying in recent years to discipline myself and say, no, I'm not going to give in to the temptation to gorge myself on the snacks because I know the feast is coming. And there's a sense in which part of being a follower of Christ is to say, there are many interesting things in this world, even good things that God's given us, but I'm not going to give my heart to them because I want my heart to long for eternity. I'm not going to overindulge on the good pleasures of this world because I want my heart to long for eternity and to be yearning after Christ. John sees this angel speaking to him and he's overwhelmed by the glory of this scene of worship and he falls down to worship him. But the angel says, no, don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. And that's a great word for us as Christians even. even the Apostle John, we're tempted to worship things that are less than God because they're glorious and they're wonderful, and we're tempted to give our hearts to them in worship. But no, worship God. Worship God. And then the rider on the white horse. Oh, the glory of this. Heaven opened a white horse. When Jesus came into Jerusalem in his earthly ministry, he came in on a donkey. A colt, the foal of a donkey. Because he came in to bring peace. And when a king enters on a donkey, he's coming in as a peacemaker to make peace. He's coming in humility and in gentleness and lowliness, because no one ever rides a donkey into war, because donkeys are just not war beasts, right? They're beasts of burden. They go at a slow pace. But when a king comes on a white horse, it is for war. It is for victory. It is for conquest. And so Jesus comes again, and he comes on a white horse to make war, to judge. That's what we're told. He is called faithful and true. Jesus is the faithful one. He never breaks his promise. He is the true one. There is no spot of untruth in him. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. Oh, what a contrast to the horsemen we saw way back in chapter 6, who make war with a selfish end and with destruction and just self-glorifying ways. This is the one who is faithful and true, who in righteousness judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire. He sees everything. Jesus has that penetrating insight to see everything perfectly. On his head are many diadems because he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All crowns, all glory, all authority belongs to him. He has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is the revelation of the mystery of God. He's clothed in a robe dipped in blood, his own blood, by which he purchased his people and by which he overcame. And the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure. Wait a minute. Fine linen, white and pure. Didn't we just see that? That's what's given to the bride. Fine linen, bright and pure. Fine linen, white and pure. We are the bride of Christ. We are also the army of Christ. When he comes in this way, 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us we'll be caught up to meet him in the air as he comes. So this is that picture. He's coming as a conquering king, and we are with him. We are with him as he comes. We are part of the armies of heaven, following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. The sword of his mouth is the word of God, which he is the word of God. He rules them with a rod of iron. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. Oh, we have this distorted picture in America of Jesus, gentle and lowly, meek and humble, and he is. But we think, oh, he wouldn't hurt a fly. Oh, he's harmless. Oh, he's only ever accepting of people. You need a full and complete picture of the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when he comes again, he is coming to do business. He is coming to make war, to judge. He is coming to tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. He is coming to rule with a rod of iron, to strike down the nations as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that is our Savior. That is our Savior. Yes, he is the one who welcomed children and put them on his knee and said, "Let the little children come unto me." Yes, he is the one who touched and healed those who were suffering and outcast. But to the arrogant, to the proud, to the powerful, to this world in rebellion against God, he is the one coming with his flaming eyes and a sword from his mouth. And there's a supper for the people of God, the wedding supper of the Lamb, and then there's a supper for the enemies of God, the great supper of God. There's two suppers contrasted purposefully in this chapter, the wedding supper of the Lamb and then the great supper of God. And the great supper of God is when the birds of the air are invited to feast on the flesh of the mighty men of the world. It's a graphic picture. And at the end of this picture, you see the beast and the false prophet thrown into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. We're going to get back to the lake of fire on Friday. But here we've seen at the very beginning, it was the downfall of the great prostitute, Babylon the Great, mother of harlotry. And here it is the beast and the false prophet. So all of these satanic systems that have ruled the world, self-exalting political power, false religion, commerce and immorality, you know, the prosperity of the world and its immoral systems, all of these are thrown down. And the rest were slain by the sword that came from the mouth of him who was sitting on the horse, and all the birds were gorged with their flesh. We're going to rejoice on that day. We're going to rejoice on that day because we're going to see him whom our hearts have longed to see, and we're going to rejoice in his judgments, which are true and just and righteous altogether. So let's get our hearts into the habit of rejoicing in him now, longing for that day, and knowing him as he is in all the fullness of his character, holy and wise and powerful and just and gentle and loving and merciful and kind, and coming to judge and willing to save. That is our King. That is the one we worship. Let's pray. O Lord Jesus, we long to see you face to face on that day. Our hearts cry out, come quickly, Lord Jesus. What a wonderful day it will be when all evil will be vanquished. The world will no longer be a place dominated by selfish, war-making, famine-causing, life-destroying, innocence-corrupting men who rule this world with an iron fist for their own glory and their own good, but rather the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the seas. And how we long for that day. And so we say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Condition our hearts, train our hearts in regular Lord's Day morning worship, in regular daily times in your word and in prayer, in regular fellowship with your people, to long for that day that is coming, and may it come soon. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, Lord willing, Friday morning we'll be in Revelation chapter 20, and that means we will be talking about the millennium. So we'll be talking a little bit about pre-mill, post-mill, all-mill, that kind of stuff is coming up on Friday morning. Try to make it as clear and stick to the text like we've been doing throughout this study. Have a blessed day in the Lord.
Woven up with faithful acts of your saints.